Each one of us remember being a child, and we remember what it's like to have an imagination. It was fun, wasn't it? In fact, so oftentimes now we wish that we could have that again. I believe it's one of the reasons, just one of many, that Jesus loved the little children so much. You know, children filled with love and zest for life, and things just bounced off of them and they just moved on. And they were crazy for Jesus, believing in what all that he had told them. They trusted him. You see, all things that he wants for us to be and to do, it began when we were a child. With that childhood imagination, we believed more in good than evil, and we could envision our dreams. We could envision what we wanted to be and what we wanted to do as we played and we acted out those dreams by what we called pretending, which really, in reality, was exercising out our faith. And for those whose childhoods were not so great, as an adult, you should now be able to look back and see how the enemy was at work trying to destroy the destiny that you were meant to be and to have, because the enemy knew that childlike faith was powerful, and Jesus knew it was powerful. Don't you want to have that which God had created for you to have, to start anew and begin again? We can have that each new day. We can have a do-over. Do you want one? Well, let's go get it. Let's go get it now. Learn so much from our children. We can learn so much from our childhood. You know, that's when we began our life. And I believe, you know, with how trusting children can be, they can bounce back from things. You know, they don't hold grudges. They don't really remember a lot of things that as an adult we would hang on to. You know, we're so different today. You know, we just hold on to the things that we shouldn't. We can't just bounce back like we did as a child. We don't remember things that are unhealthy for us. We tend to just blow things off as a child, you know? I mean, think about it. I'm just trying to get you to think about it and how really, truly, being a grown-up sucks, you know? We need to get back to our originality of who you could start to see form in us as a child. You know, I had so much unconditional love, and I felt like everybody in the world loved me. You know, I had lots of confidence. I was, I had words spoken over me that were just so empowering to me. And it's so just revealing when you look back over your life and you see what was going on at the time and how you were, and then what changed. You know, I remember starting school and it wasn't so great. And I remember things happening in my family that began to tear down that confidence, that going to school, the words that, you know, even your peers began to be kind of mean and stuff like that. So it was those early years. And that's basically what I'm talking about here, is those early years in our life that when we're being formed and things are happening around us and we are able to start to believe, start to pretend. I mean, it starts at a very early age, very early age. And it's exciting to me because I was spoken over with very powerful words and I was very confident. And I believed those things, you know, especially from my daddy, because I was a daddy's girl and he played with me when he came home and, you know, he invested time in me. And my mom, she took care of us, always taking care of us and always doing things for us. And I noticed that as a small child. And so I had so much confidence and I felt so very loved. And it's when you get a little older that the ways of the world start to attack you. Let's start thinking more about the more positive times in our life. You know, and as I talk about these things, that's what I want you to feel, those good times in your lives. That's what God meant for you. And so let's talk more about faith. And one of the things I wanted to kind of touch back with that I talked about in the last podcast was double-mindedness. That has several different scenarios, but I just wanted to say that, that I believe that Jesus is talking about the double-mindedness about this particular topic of faith is that he doesn't want us to be wishy-washy. And, you know, he wants us to find it, what we believe, and he wants us to stick to it. None of this wavering, you know, so I just wanted to touch back on that. I've always been about words and speaking life and death for anything, life and death of a dream, you know, life and death or of what you envision yourself to be, and just speaking not only to yourself, but to others, because that's what it tells us in Proverbs. It's talking about the power of the tongue. And I want to remind you that when Jesus created the world, what all did he do? What efforts did he put forth? Were they physical or were they his words? His words. They spoke life. They spoke these things into existence. That's just how powerful your words are. So be careful with them and be careful of your thoughts. And do not let your faith and your trust in God doubt. You know, it may do it in your mind. Never let it do it in your heart and work on the mind. That's why he says, renew your thoughts in Christ. He wants your thoughts to line up with his. And if you love him, your heart will not waver. You keep going. Keep pushing. And let me tell you, that old enemy's going to be there, but you have all power and authority over him. So how do you defeat him? It's with your words. You know, it tells us this in Ephesians 6:12. It tells us, for we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. This is how come I tell you that you have to be careful with your words. Your words are powerful. They're either going to make it positive, which is life, or negative, which is death. And we fight the enemy with these things. When the enemy tries to defeat us, we turn it around. And in the name of Jesus, we say the opposite of the enemy. Here's something that I have written on index cards. I take index cards because they're great reminders. If it's not positive, don't let it come out of your mouth. One of the things that I wrote up on my wall on an index card, I'm reading to you now, and it says, when I realized how powerful my thoughts are, I tried to never think a negative thought again. Father, take captive of my thoughts. And here is another thing I have written on my wall. It's entitled Warfare Strategies. Number one, stop the voices. What are the voices? They're those thoughts in your head, those things that the enemy tries to get in there to tell you that you're not all that. Number two, stop the spirit of suicide and discouragement. Those are the things that are negative. Those are the things that are death. Those are the things that discourage us. Number three, break the bondage of the generations. You know, there are things from your past that you didn't even do that were in your past generations. Go ahead and break those too. You know, say, in the name of Jesus, I break the bondage of my generations before me. You know, and I call life now into those places that are now void. Life, and speak all the things that are positive that you can think over those situations. Okay, the next one is break your own curses. Those things that you've said about yourself that are negative. And you know, I hear so many people like they curse themselves by like calling themselves names like stupid and dumb and you know, just all these things that they shouldn't even say. And you know, and you're like defeating your destiny by calling yourself those names and saying that you can't and all. Even if you don't feel positive about it, speak it anyway, because it begins to grow like a seed within you and sprout up and become a true life for you. And bless your home. Walk through your home and speak positive over it and tell those negative things that are there, those spirits that like to lurk around and cause strife in your family. You know, speak over them and take authority over them and break false judgments and rejections, things that really aren't true. You know, break those curses and break those thoughts and break whatever has happened before and break unhealthy connections by your words, saying where they need to be, where they need to go. They have no room here with you, you know, and remember that in Luke 10, it tells us, behold, I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions, such as, you know, the bad things in your life and the things of this world that are trying to come up against you, and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. And I hear the Lord saying, no more, no more. We're getting rid of that today, that mindset today. I declare healing, you know, talk like that. I declare healing over my husband, my children, my own body, you know, that illnesses be gone. I loose the way for health into our lives, you know. Keep talking like that. Speak positively. Remember, I never lose. Either I win or I learn, but I never lose. Tell that to your children too. I want to remind you in Hebrews chapter 11, read that, because it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. It wasn't visible at the time, but you had to exercise your faith. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11 today and read that. That is going to be very encouraging to you. So the last time, I just want to pick up where we left off, and it says that we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Unless you do it, it won't get done. Unless you pray it, it won't get done. That's why so many prayers seem to take so long to be answered. So ask God to guide you and assist you in this list that I told you of characteristics and thoughts that I mentioned that your partner has unwittingly received from the devil. God knows exactly what the devil has been up to, and he will tell you if you take the time to ask and to listen. What you find out, don't go holding against your mate. Just put a stop to it with these spiritual weapons that we've been talking about. You have enough information to start somewhere, and you may think maybe you're not doing it right, but you're doing something, and you'll muddle through it sometimes, and God knows it, he sees it, and he's proud of you for trying. So don't worry about any of that. Don't let those kind of things get in your way, because the enemy uses that kind of stuff to make you quit. Don't quit. So with your list, you'll say like, Satan, in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I come up against you and I bind you according to Matthew 18:18, and all your powers, principalities, rulers of this darkness, of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, I render you helpless, deaf, and dumb, and inoperative in my spouse's spirit, mind, body, and life. Whatever your problem is, it doesn't just have to be your spouse. You will not influence, motivate, or speak to my spouse or my problem anymore in the name of Jesus, and speak specifically to the spirits that's causing the following. Then read your list. Make a list of loosing. Loosing is releasing. And go through all that the Antichrist qualities and loose godly counterpart qualities and thoughts from the Holy Spirit on him or her or that problem. Loose clarity of thought and stability and even temper to combat confusion and depression. Loose the desire to know and to please Jesus in his or her life. Loose unquenchable thirst for the Word of God that he or she can't pass by a Bible without picking it up and reading it. Loose thoughts of love, desire to see your marriage and your problem healed and happy. Everything that you want for him or her to be loose on him or her. Then daily, thank God that by faith, he or she has these qualities. See how it works? That's how it works with all of this stuff that you're combating. And once he or she cannot hear the devil screaming at them anymore, the voice of the Holy Spirit comes through and you see a life turnaround. Glory to God that these spiritual weapons really are powerful to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. No one is sure how long that it will take for your marriage to be healed except God and his perfect timing. But Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's what Satan's wanting to do. He's wanting to do all he can to make you give up. But what will happen if you don't? That's always been my goal. I don't want to give up because I fear not knowing. I don't want to go through my life thinking, what if I wouldn't have given up? You need to have that too. Keep fighting through. See yourself fighting through because literally you are. You know, you're fighting this battle and you're a strong warrior. You got to keep standing. Keep standing on his word and you will once see your miracle happen. Use this time that you're waiting to learn a priceless and always useful resource that you will use all of your life and in all of other people's lives. You know, other things that you can do in your life. This is an important tool. It is a must on how to bind and how to loose. In a story shared with me whenever I was standing for the healing of my marriage, I read where there was a wife who did not contribute to strife in conversations with her husband and who he was having an affair. And instead, she would just listen and she'd take notes of the ridiculous junk that he was spilling out saying. And then she used it to bind and to loose Satan from him. You must know that the devil is persistent. You will bind one thing and he will think up another one, almost like it's to try to fool you into thinking that your binding hadn't done any good. But it so happens when she became more persistent and knew that Satan is subject to us, that we have power over him. In the name of Jesus, she continued to bind and loose and believe that they were bound no matter what this husband sounded like or he acted like, as God says we must do in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. One of her most dramatic results of binding in their situation was once whenever he said, "I can never set foot in this house again." She said, "Okay, devil, we'll break the power of the assignment that was told to my husband. It told my husband that he would never set foot in this house again and forbid you to ever put that thought in his head again in the name of Jesus." 2 days later, he was bursting through the front door for his first visit since he left home. You see how it works? Aren't you excited? I mean, you can do this with anything in life. It may be hard work getting there and being persistent, but you can do it. And if you want it really bad, if you want it that much, that's what you're going to do. This went on for 2 months. The devil would tell her to give up on her no good bum, and herself, she would want to succumb and wallow around in how much that he had hurt her. You see, whenever he can't, he feels like he's losing grip on one partner. Now he's going to turn his back on you again, and he's going to start telling you, "Well, look, poor girl, you know, he left you. He said these things to you. He did this to you," and all. And that's where he starts to turn the tables on you, and you start feeling really weak. You start to really feel that attack. But don't let that happen. Do not give in. Just, you know, there were times for me that I was so hurt at the moment that something happened, or he said something, or he did something, and I went running to my Bible. I went running to it. I was crying. I couldn't even see. I had such tears in my eyes. I was trying to read the word, and I could hardly see it, but I just kept on. I just kept fighting to read the word and crying, and I just started to feel God's presence again. You know, I just started to feel that I was in battle, that I was going to win. I just kept reading it and reading it. And then I felt myself begin to be as I should and not let the enemy's words destroy me. Take that, you evil one. You see, Jesus, there's Jesus in this fairly new Christian. She wouldn't let her yield up. She wouldn't give up. And meanwhile, she also worked hard on cleaning up all of her own bad habits and the things in her husband that hadn't liked about her, you know, things he didn't like, things that she just felt like she should change. When the devil ran out of her thoughts, God's thoughts, they took over. They took over. Her husband came home to her. They both began their new life together and are happily praising God and attending church together. I remember going, my husband came home and he decided, you know, hey, you know, God says I must come home. And he knew enough of that to give him that conviction. But every Sunday for 6 months, I got up, I took my children, and we went to church. I came home. My husband was still asleep in the bed. I drove 17 miles in traffic to go to church with 2 kids. I did it out of obedience. I kept doing it. I kept doing it. Those are the kind of, what do they call it? Persistence, but dedication and perseverance happened. I speak to you, those who are truly hurting. I want you to know that there were some terrible things said to me, you know, and it was very hurtful, and could have drove me to give in to his demands for a divorce. Could have, but I had to trust God. I had to trust him. I had to trust his word more than the words coming out of my husband's mouth. When learning how to use my spiritual weapons, I would also dream of the day that I would hear what it was that I wanted to hear. And yes, it did come true. It came true in much more deeper ways than I could ever imagine. The payoff was great. It was so much more than I could imagine, so much more than I asked for, because you have to know this. When God gives you something, he gives it to you big time. You've got to tune in to God every day to inquire if Satan has put any new assignments on your mate or this miracle that you're waiting for, this problem that you're dealing with. And if so, you will know what to do and what to do to win this war. The Spirit of our Lord, it's alive and well in our lives today. It's like when I stood at that kitchen sink when I told you that I told the Lord, I know that you healed in the Bible. I know that you did miracles in the Bible, but I still believe you can do it today. And I proved it. He did. He does. He will. We're about to step into some really amazing times. We're going to see a lot of great things from our God happen. And you need to be ready. And you need to be standing in faith. I ask that you practice these things each and every day. I ask that you do things that build you up and keep you encouraged and keep going. I have a prayer closet and I have no clothes in here. I moved them to other places. And my prayer closet, it has all of those index cards I was telling you about with verses and affirmations and things that God has told me and prayers. You need something to keep you going. You can start thinking about that every day. You can think about where you're going to put your cards if you don't have a prayer closet. Put them where you can see them or rubber band them and carry them with you wherever you go so that you can easily start reading them and not worry about what the enemy says. You have your weaponry right there. When he starts talking one way, you look it up and you just start using it against him. Keep encouraging yourself in the Lord. And get yourself connected with the right kind of people, the people that will build you up, people that love you, people that know the word. You know, you have to be careful with those unhealthy connections. You need to break those. And you need to move forward in your new life, your new ventures. Be excited. No matter what the world says to you, we are children of God. And that comes with lots of benefits. So I hope that you got a lot out of this series. You can always go back and refresh yourself, listen again and again. And we're going to be moving on to a new series. And we're narrowing it down, but it's going to be something like Now More Than Ever, It's Time. What are you waiting for? Start believing in yourself. Until next time, just remember that not only does God love you, He loves you more than anyone. I love you too. I care about you. And that's why I'm here sharing these podcasts with you. Have a great day and a great new adventure in your life as you turn the page to a new chapter. Thank you.